has actually been given. Jesus became flesh, as the Bible said. He got skin and bones like you and I. It's interesting, I was just reading something this morning, and it's something that, you know, in all the years of study and considering these things, that I'd never really thought of. But God Himself in Jesus became human, just like you and I. But even though He's God, He has remained human. And I think, even where we've been this week, isn't it amazing that our God, that Jesus is still a man, He's still human like the rest of us, and when He looks at tragedy, when He looks at the things that we go through, He feels it like us. He weeps, He cries, and He feels those human emotions. That's what we celebrate this Christmas. And obviously, so many times we come and we want to lift it up, and we do. But I'm just allowing us to understand that the gift of God, the love of God, is so pertinent when times are tough. Because a loving God reached humanity where we were, where we are, and where we're going. Let me pray. Father, I thank You that Your love brought to us the ultimate gift, Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just lift Your name up this morning, and we honor You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. Well, thank you, team. That was fantastic. Well done. That was really good. Give them a hand. They have done very well. Give our special guest bass guitarist, Disho, a big hand for coming and helping us out. That's awesome. Who here are the people that are really good at buying gifts? Who are the gift givers, people that love doing it? I saw both my wife and my sister-in-law put their hands up. So, I mean, that's good for our family. Maybe. Depends which list I'm on, doesn't it? Have you ever had difficulty buying a gift for somebody? I reckon you all have, haven't you? Who's had difficulty getting a gift for somebody?
Yes.
You know, there's that person, and you say, oh, they are the worst person to buy gifts for. You know, they've just got everything. And what am I going to get them? And I think as actually we get older, I guess we accumulate more stuff. I think the perception is that we need less. I don't know if that's true. I mean, I'm old now, but I'm still... Yeah, I still like presents. And I've got ideas about new mountain bikes and all sorts of things. So it doesn't stop, does it? Anyway, it's better than a midlife crisis where you've got to get a red Ferrari. But, you know, you try to get that perfect gift. And who's spent a lot of time walking around the shops, and then you've surrendered. You came out with chocolate and socks. Perhaps it's easier with kids, you know, because they have plenty of ideas. Parents here have found that their kids have got lots of ideas. We have got one of our boys that had, thankfully, as Christmas got closer, it settled down a little bit, but he was talking about it, particularly mid-year, and he had a very extensive list. Included a go-kart and a motocross bike. And a number of other things that were on his list. It's interesting too that the gifts that we want, and particularly when we're kids, not everything's achievable. We had our other little boy write a note to Santa, and he's smart. He just said, Santa, I want money. money. Oh, and then he told me how much it was, and it had lots and lots of zeros. And he said, I could buy a Bugatti, and Dad, I can buy you a Mustang. He wrote that on his note to Santa Claus. Anyway, we will wait and see. I wonder if he was on the naughty list or the nice list. But, you know, I'm not a great gift giver. I'm being one of those husbands that's walking around the shops Christmas Eve with that look of desperation and fear in their eyes. Have we got any friends here? And actually, I'll tell you about it, boys. It sounds desperate, but it's actually not so bad, because the shops are not as busy then as you might think, and you can actually get around and get it done easier. But anyway, you don't have a lot of time left, do you? But Christmas really is the ultimate gift. It's about the ultimate gift. Listen to what was written over 1,000 years before Jesus came. And the prophet Isaiah, and this was inspired. He wouldn't have been able to completely understand what he was writing, but he wrote this. He says, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given." Now this gift wasn't just like an envelope with $50 and a box of chocolates. Far from it. It was planned. It came at just the right time. It was absolutely what humanity needed, not what humanity necessarily wanted. Like a little boy that wants a motocross bike, it mightn't be the best thing for him. Sometimes what we want as humanity is not what we need. But it was planned. It was planned to come at just the right time. When Alex, my wife, had a significant birthday, actually a decade ago, I think she turned 20, and I thought, well, we've got to do something sort of special for this one, and as someone that didn't always get these things right, I thought I'll try and do something special. So we decided that I was going to buy her she really wanted a Vespa scooter. We lived in Lenna Valley at the time and didn't have kids, and it was sort of easy to get around and all that. So we got her this Piaggio, which is sort of Italian but made in China. But scooter, and I rallied around the family and everybody threw in a bit, and we went away for this big birthday bash, and at just the moment, I rode this little scooter in to this house where we were all celebrating. And anyway, Alex was overcome, and she cried and she was excited and all those. So it was all wonderful. But you see, unlike most of the gifts that I've bought, I had to actually go to a fair bit of trouble to make that happen. I had to get other people involved to contribute. I had to plan it, and we were actually going off to Ethiopia just before that, so I had to get it all organized before we went so it would all work when we came back. And it took a fair bit of planning to actually make it happen. It took some expense. Do you know what? From the moment things went wrong with humanity, God was actually planning his rescue mission, and he was planning that perfect gift that would come at just the right time to reach humanity where and when they needed it. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. The text in Isaiah goes on and it says, "And the rule of nations will be on his shoulders." What does that mean? Another translation says, "And the government shall be on his shoulders." I used to read that and think, wow, is he carrying around the whole of Parliament House on his shoulders? Is he carrying around the whole of government? But it just meant the weight and responsibility. Now, It's talking about the kingdom of God and ultimately the peace and a new way of looking at things, a new pattern for our world that would come as a result of Jesus Christ. So what does that look like? If you think about a lot of our politicians and the way that they do leadership, it's actually interesting to draw comparison to what Jesus brings and the way that we actually do government. You see, so many leaders are actually looking for what people can do for them, aren't they? You know, we can all fall into that, even as a church leader. Oh yeah, we've got to get stuff done. We need people to gather around and get it done. And so often our mindset can be, what can that person do for me? Whereas the mindset of Jesus wasn't what you could do for me. The difference between him and most of our leaders is it was what he could do for you. Leaders of this day often surround themselves with servants and aides and all sorts of people that make it happen, don't they? But Jesus surrounds himself with his own servanthood, with the fact that he surrounded himself with the fact that he came to serve, not to be served. Leaders of this day often want to use their own power to build an empire. Jesus used his power to wash our feet and make us clean and comfortable. Leaders of this day trade their influence for money. I mean, how many politicians do you read about taking a bribe or even actually stuff that sort of seems all right, but there's obviously money exchanging and benefits that are behind people's decision. God so loved the world that he gave. Generals need to keep wars happening so that their weapons and skills are up to date to ensure their own advancement. Jesus brings peace and rest to our hearts. It's interesting too, the greater the level of importance that leaders in this world get to, the more removed they become from people. Have you noticed that? The more unattainable they are. And we've often seen that, even in all sorts of things, in you know, perhaps local government, even in our church world. You know, somebody starts off as a grassroots leader and everybody can get in contact with them, but as responsibility and stuff grows, they become more unattainable. Whereas Jesus is our Emmanuel, as Isaiah says. That means God with us. He's not unreachable. He's right here. Leaders of this day are often desperate to be seen and heard. Jesus actually sought anonymity so that he could be useful. He didn't come to make a fuss, to make a scene. It was actually his message. It was his revolutionary thinking. It was actually his love and his servanthood that made a scene that actually stirred things up. It was actually acts of love. It was actually taking on an establishment and a religiosity that was disempowering people, that was oppressive, that actually landed him on the cross. He was a true servant leader. His name will be called Wonderful Teacher, Powerful God, Father who lives forever, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to his rule and his peace, and upon the throne of David and over his nation, he will build it to last and keep it strong with what is right and fair and good from that time and forever. So often we become disillusioned with things that happen in and around our world. We become disillusioned with our own leaders. We become disillusioned with all sorts of things that go on. We live in a world where doom and disaster is actually spoken of all the time. Don't have to tell you, we've been through the fatigue of the last couple of years. And really, we've gone from that, haven't we, to the next thing in the news is climate change. And I'm not speaking into the rights and wrongs of that, but what I do want to say is that there is always hope. Because the gift of God came to actually bring you peace, to bring you love, to bring you hope, and it extends beyond any circumstance that we would ever face. That perfect gift, that ultimate gift, was a gift of love. It was a gift of forgiveness. I don't need hands, but who finds it hard to forgive? Yeah. As Jesus chose to forgive, the weight and the brokenness of the whole world. Every horrible disaster that you can think of, every genocide, every terrible thing that's happened, he took that upon himself and chose to forgive. Total acceptance. When you come to Jesus, you don't have to wear the right clothes. You don't have to be in the right church. You don't have to have come from the right side of town. You don't have to have done the right things. You just have to come to him and he gives you total acceptance. He doesn't say, hey, Grant, be all right if you could get rid of those tattoos, then you could be all right. He says, I'll love you through the tattoos. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, nothing wrong with tattoos, but I'm saying there's a sense where we think that to come to Jesus, we've got to sort our stuff out first. Now, if you're battling with brokenness, if you're battling with addiction, if you're battling with, you know, perhaps a mental illness, all manner of things that you could think, when I sort that out, perhaps I could come to Jesus and he would accept me. The beauty of this ultimate gift is he accepts you in the middle of it. He accepts you in the worst of it. He accepts you in the best of it. And he accepts you now. That is the ultimate gift. The ultimate gift isn't like, oh, gee, I need to be good enough. And I think, I don't know, as parents we use the naughty and nice thing and all that. You do all sorts of things to work kids out. But you know what? Sometimes we think that our God is like Santa Claus. We think that sometimes we're on the naughty list, sometimes we're on the nice list. Do you know what the Bible actually tells us about that? It says that you come to Jesus in faith and have your sins forgiven, you are always on the nice list. Because you know what? When he looks at your stuff, when he looks at your mistakes, when he looks at your brokenness, he doesn't actually see them. He actually sees the blood of Jesus that was spilt on that cross. He sees that instead of your imperfections. That's an ultimate gift. He also gave us power. This world so often wants to make you feel powerless, doesn't it? But he actually gave you power to make decisions, power to live your life, power to be able to do what you're called and need to do. Because he overcame. He overcame a world that would want to take that power away. He gave you authority. That's, in other words, you know, you can actually start to talk and declare things about your life and your future. That is all because Jesus died on the cross and he overcame all those things that come against you. Sustainability, big word in this period. But it says, to his rule there will be no end. In other words, what Jesus brought, that gift is totally sustainable. It lasts forever. It's not going to break down. There is always hope. And don't we need peace? Don't we need peace? I don't think peace is a lack of conflict. I think peace is a position and it's a state and it's a place of being. And let me tell you that the supernatural peace that's available through the ultimate gift of Jesus Christ is available to you in the middle of conflict. It's available to you in the middle of a marriage breakup. It's available to you in the middle of a pandemic. It's available to you in the middle of the worst job that you've ever had. It's available to you as a parent when the kids are going feral. It's available to you at any time, at any stage, and even when you're not thinking about it. Because Jesus came with the ultimate gift. If the team would just like to join me, please. As we go into this Christmas, I just want to ask a really, really important question. Some of you have probably received some pretty amazing gifts. Some of you might be thinking it'd be nice to get something like that. But I want to ask the most important question that I can ask across this building and with all the people that are joining us online here this morning is, have you received the ultimate gift? Have you noticed sometimes we gather all the gifts around our Christmas tree? And, you know, most of them get opened when we celebrate Christmas Day. But have you noticed, then there'll be somebody that's not there and perhaps they're going to come around the next day or they're going to come soon. And sometimes it just doesn't happen, just through logistics. And there's this one gift that's under the tree and it's sitting there. And you've got to put the Christmas tree down and the gift's still there. And you think, oh, I've got to get this to the person. But the thing is that the gift is sitting there under the tree and it hasn't been opened. And the potential blessing, the potential joy, the potential benefit that is in that gift is still sitting there wrapped up under a Christmas tree because the person who it was intended for didn't receive it and was unable to open it. You see, the gift of God is for everybody, but we cannot receive the potential of that gift unless we open the gift. And right now, this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to receive that gift and actually open it. And if you would say right now, in your own space, and I'll lead you in a prayer in a minute if you just want to be part of that. I'll actually ask you to just raise a hand in some privacy in just a moment because it's an act of faith too. But if you would say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you came for me. You came in my brokenness. You came to pay the price for my part in humanity's brokenness. I thank you for that. I want to receive that gift of forgiveness and love and peace now. Come into my life, come into my heart, and I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. And we just bow our heads, close our eyes. And if you'd like to receive the ultimate gift this morning, if you'd like to open that, maybe you've been around church, maybe you feel like you understand a little bit about religion but you've never actually connected with Jesus, if that's you this morning, just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just give me a quick wave, say that's me, Dave, I want to do that, and we'll pray together in a minute. Just give me a wave, say hey Dave, that's me. If you're online, send us a message just while no one's looking around. Just slip your hand up just as an act of faith that you're praying this prayer together this morning. Maybe you've prayed a prayer like this once, but you just don't feel close to God at the moment. if that's you, just give me a wave and we'll pray together. Brilliant, brilliant. I'll just hang on another moment. It's important. I just don't want people to miss out on opening the ultimate gift, which is connection and relationship and unlimited love of our amazing God. All right, as people pray here, let's pray together. If you're online, please let us know what you're doing. We'll pray together for those that are responding right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you've given me the ultimate gift. Your love and your forgiveness. I ask right now that you would forgive me. I thank you for dying for me. Come into my life right now. Fill me with your presence. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. Amen. Awesome. People make that response all the time in church. It's not the words that are important, but it's actually your state of heart and you choosing to connect with God. If you gave us a wave or if you responded online, we'd want to just get around and encourage you in that. It's been wonderful to have you in church this morning. It's been a wonderful day, hasn't it? Been a fantastic weather after our very long wet spring. Everything is just growing fantastically. Hey, you know, I was doing a wedding yesterday and it was just magnificent. It was a little bit hot really. It was 30 degrees and we were standing out in the sun. And this is a wedding celebrant sort of worst moment. So there was somebody singing and I was about to go on with the next part of the ceremony and I looked down at my iPad and it had this sort of temperature icon up on it and it had shut down. So I quickly put it under a shrub and tried to find the ceremony on my phone. Anyway, thankfully the song went on for a bit and I got it out and it cooled down. So isn't it amazing? Even when it's warm and we've been longing for it, there's always something that concerns us. But isn't this weather been just absolutely beautiful? And let's enjoy this season. We've got a festival coming up soon, so let's stand and we're going to sing. And just, you don't need to rush off. Hang around. We'll come in a minute. Leonie's going to come and let you know what's happening. Oh.